We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror.
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Thank you, Lee. And thank you to our wise, generous, attractive subscribers here on Substack. Stephen Godfrey, how are you?
It's January in every way, shape, and form. So as I record this, I'm not sure exactly when people will listen to this. I'm wrapping up a 8-day run of no school. Ice covering roads in Nashville, and also, as you can tell by the sound of my voice, just that general postseason immune deficiency. Richard and I, when we recorded the Eyes list, I don't know if this made it on the show or not, but we both remarked it. It's amazing how your body knows when the season's over if you work in football, and you just immediately crater. It's like the second you take for yourself, you're just like, oh, I can slow down a little bit, and then you just die.
Everyone's listening to this. They can't see you on video, but if you could see God for right now, you would see exactly that he's full of color. I'm not saying which color, that his hair is flowing, that his skin looks robust.
My skin, so, yes. The color would be gray and white. The flowing would be hair that hasn't really been cleaned in a couple days. And then, yes, just the pall of death is upon me. The shining light that only Alex can see right now is reflected off the snow right now. And I have reaffirmed my convictions that I'm not from the Midwest. And I don't know how you people do this. And frankly, I don't know why God would do this to anybody.
Stephen, the reason that we have convened here is to debate maybe the defining question of the early offseason in college football, which is quite simply, is Alabama fucked? There's been
that's not what I thought you were gonna say. I was ready to be earnest and serious with you for a second, and then as in typical Kirshner fashion, you slipped in the joke. Not a joke. Just delivered in a humorous way. We wrote columns roughly in the same window of time, in that Nick Saban retired and Kalen DeBoer was named the replacement head coach within about, 72 hours? Something to that effect. I said this on the single wing, Alex. Yeah, I don't know what your situation was with your editors and the various publications that you write for, but I really implored the Post to maybe, I was like, look, we're going to write a thing and I'm going to have to future-proof the crap out of it. I said, if we waited a little bit, we'd have a better idea of what's going to happen. But there's such a need for immediacy in legacy media, like in sort of an old school way of thinking, that as I wrote this, I was getting text messages being like, yeah, they're going to close on Kalen here soon. And I had like a whole two graph structure of like, you know, I think the conceit was essentially like, it doesn't matter who they hire because this is my thesis. And so we had to keep chopping. As I'm editing, I'm like chopping off this whole thing about Steve Sarkisian and this whole thing about Mike Norvell, because like they were putting out those tweets, those like affirmation of my current job tweets that Dan Lanning started, and then Norvell did and Sarkisian did. And then, of course, obviously just it was DeBoer the entire time. It really was like a one horse race. I think it was a weird moment based on how fluid college football works in a linear timeline now, because you have even in a weird schedule, this is a pretty weird moment, right? After the national championship, he's going to retire. And then you have a search for a replacement. It happened really fast, those two events. But then, Alex, obviously, you have at first an immediate window of speculation, followed by I get maybe micro or sort of successive little bumps of news as individual players come and go from the program at Alabama, at Washington, et cetera, et cetera. If it feels like maybe, I don't think our show is flat-footed at all. I think we called most of this pretty early on, but like you can go back to the I show that Richard and I did before the season. You know, we said, hey, this is probably how it's going to happen one day. We didn't know it was going to be this year, but we knew it would happen. It feels like the media was a little flat-footed. It's because we're all still learning how to like conduct these news cycles. So what I wanted to talk about today and my proposal in having this conversation was we are, I would say, in like 80% alignment in the assessment of the situation of Nick Saban's retirement and what Alabama is and what college football will be and won't be and those kind of things. You had a theory at the Ringer, and it's funny because I sent my column to my editor at the Post, and I saw yours on social while I was waiting for a response, so I fired it up. And I think the only like thing we were not necessarily diametrically opposed, but at least in terms of the linguistics, I think you have a phrase in your column at the Ringer that says Alabama's too big to fail, or Alabama should be considered too big to fail, something like that. And then I think I wrote in mine, there will be an emerging naivete that Alabama is too big to fail. Your piece, I want to talk about your piece for a second, is structured around an arguable fact, which is the period, and we'll start with the non-football part, because I think that's something that hasn't been talked about yet. The period in which Nick Saban is the head coach at Alabama from 2007 until 2 weeks ago, they have like the best business run you can have at a public university, essentially, right? Like you pulled all of these stats and there's not a bad one in the crew.
No, there's not. I think that it's funny that one of the things that I talked about in my Ringer column about this, and I didn't really gloss, I wouldn't say I glossed over it, but I also didn't really dive into it, is that Alabama is now mostly an out-of-state students school. And yeah, you could have a long discussion about whether that's wrong. I would argue that it kind of is if you're talking about like the mission of a public school.
A public university. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
educate the citizens of a state. But that aside, Alabama did go ahead and massively grow its enrollment with out-of-state tuition-paying students who have buffed up the coffers of the university. Godfrey, I think even more relevant for our purposes here is that Alabama's spending on football in the time that Nick Saban was the head coach there, and because Nick Saban was the head coach there, skyrocketed to a degree that is exceptional even by the SEC's standards in this time.